Alan's handing out a little chart. I may have given you one of these last time. I can't recall. You know, the old age, I forget things. But many of you may not have been here. And those who are on Zoom or on phone call, we appreciate your being with us as well. And if you'd like a copy of the chart and you're not here with us, well, then you can just email me or email someone here, and I'm sure they'll be glad to scan it in for you and get it off to you. We'll get it to you somehow, right? So just let us know if you'd like one. But we'll have them on the slides as well. And again, if you want those slides, you can also email or let us know in some way, and we'll get the slides for you. Barbara, I want to send, of course, our greetings and thank you, as we always do, for your love for us, your concern for us, and the fact that you pray for us regularly and support us in the ministry, and things are going well. We're thankful. Some of you asked, are we still traveling? And the answer is, for the most part, yes. We do Zoom occasionally still. We're Zooming our Bible studies. One of our studies we're still Zooming. One we still do in person now over where we live right now in the apartment. And then we also like Zoomed to Virginia last week. There are some places where are sort of closed, but they want the speakers to come anyway, so they let us Zoom, right? So we've been Zooming a little bit, and Northeast especially, all of December we were Zooming pretty much because of the quarantine issues, right? We couldn't take the time to quarantine, so we had to Zoom. But we were in Florida most of January, and it's nice and warm down there, and we went to the men's Bible study. We had a marvelous time in the book of Jeremiah, Lamentations, and we did the whole both of those books in that 1 week. Whatever number of chapters, 52 plus five more, 57 chapters, I guess we did, in 4 or 5 days, right? Marvelous time, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., you know, in the Word of God. You know, it's a great time. And we want to encourage the men here, if you want to go next year, let us know. Now, unfortunately, some did get the virus there. thankfully, as far as I know, I didn't get it. But as some of you know, Larry Price did, and his wife Wanda, and others as well at the study. You got 3 or 4 or 5 of them got the virus. Keith Kaiser's daughter had got the virus as well before that. So just pray for these folks. You may know some of them, and pray that they'll all recover well. With that being said, I noticed that in the bulletin I'm speaking on TBA. And so I was trying to think what that might be. And then I realized it probably meant to be announced, is what I figured. And so I thought I'd go back to what we were studying before. You do remember the book I started with last year, don't you? No, you don't. Well, you should, because you have the sheet before you. It's the book of Numbers. We did the overview of the book of Numbers, and now you may not have been with us, but we did the overview of the book of Numbers some time ago, and so you see I have it up here. Oh, you probably could have cheated anyway. It says it right there, right? And we started by doing an overview of the book of Numbers, and I thought perhaps we'd continue in the next 7 times I've come, whenever it is this year, 3 or 4 times, I think it's four, at least 4 times this year that we're here. And we'll try to do a section of the book of Numbers at a time, rather than try to do a verse-by-verse study, which might take quite a few years. We thought we would do this. We do the verse-by-verse studies in the Bible study, so like Isaiah, for instance, on Tuesday nights, we're in chapter 62 or 3, I think it is. We've been in it for 5 years, right, thereabouts. And so it's taken a while, but we will finish it this quarter, I think. I think we will get it done, and we'll go on to our next book. But here, we won't do a verse by verse, but just to give you a sense of the book. And so let's go ahead and read the scriptures first, right? And then we'll look at the details and the commentary or whatever you want to take a look at as far as what the speaker does. And I guess I should check to see if this is working, right? This is probably not working. Okay, that's okay. I can tell him when to change it. Let's go ahead and take a look at chapter 1 then, book of Numbers, chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one the head of the house of his fathers. And then, of course, now I'm not going to go read all those names. I'm sure you're going to be quite happy about that. But we're not going to read all the names. It talks about the fathers' names and who they are and what tribe they're related to. I'll summarize those in a little bit. And you'll see in verse 16 then, these were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes, their fathers, heads of the thousands, and Israel. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward by their poles. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. Let's go, and then he, of course, goes through all the accounting of that. I won't read all that for time's sake. Well, we'll keep on going, and let's go down, and let's look at verse 46. And actually, let's start at verse 45. So were all those that were numbered the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel, even all they were numbered were 600,000, 3,550. There you are. That's a very important number, isn't it? And so we have that. Then verse 47, but the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers were not numbered among them, the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, or all the things that were belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle sets forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death. A nice, exciting point there, isn't there? But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. And the children of Israel did according to all the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. Well, that's very good. Let's go over to chapter 2 then, and see what chapter 2 has to tell us. And verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off from the tabernacle of the congregation shall he pitch. And then it's going to go in and specify how they're going to arrange themselves, right? Well, won't read the whole thing. How they're going to arrange themselves around the tabernacle, right, is what's going to happen here. And you see in verse 3, it talks about the east side and the tribes. There's three tribes on the east side. Judah is there. Issachar and Zebulun are the three tribes there. And they got their number, of course. And then verse 10, the south side, we have Reuben is the head of that section of the camp. And we have Simeon and Gad is the tribes that are with him over there. And then we have on the west side in verse 18, we have the Ephraim, and he has the Manasseh and others there. And then, of course, we go on finally the north side and the rest of the tribes, right? So if I misstated one of the tribes, don't get too mad at me. But you see, all 12 tribes are included around the tabernacle. I was looking at it very quickly here, so I may have skipped over one. And so you get down to the end of the chapter, verse 32. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their hosts were 600,000, 3,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. And the children of Israel did according to all the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards. And so they set forward everyone after their families according to the house of their fathers. Chapter 3. You have a lot to cover today, you see. Chapter 3, verse 1, these are also the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day the Lord spake with Moses about Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they were offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. And then verse 5, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And so now what he'll do, he'll bring the priest over, and they will minister for the Lord. And he brings all the Levites together, and those two priests will be over all the Levites, right? And the Levites will then also be numbered, as we will see in a little bit. But basically, what's going to happen here, verse 12, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of the firstborn. Remember, the firstborn are brought out of Egypt, right? And God says, okay, very well, but I'll tell you what, I'll let you keep your firstborn. I'm taking the Levites, right? He sort of says, let's make an exchange, right? That's sort of what happens here. And so God is being very kind to the people in that way and doing two things. One, giving them the firstborn back, and two, having a people that can minister on their behalf. And so he numbers the children of Levi to find out how many there are, right, in relation to the firstborn. And so we see then that number is come up with, and where are these different tribes? And the three, of course, of these are the, let me just mention them here, Gershon, in verse 17, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, right? Three families of the Levites, and they all will have their function, right? Kohath will be responsible for the furniture, right? The laver and the altars and the ark and all that kind of stuff, which is very nice. And Gershon will have responsibility for all the curtains and the fabric and all that kind of thing. And Merari will have responsibility for the pillars and the bars and the boards and all that, right? So everybody has their own thing to do, we might say. And so we have these three families numbered and explaining what they will do and where they will be and so on. And I won't go read it all because it would take a while. And but that all goes down then to verse 39 of chapter 3. And all that were numbered of Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from a month old upward were 22,000. And we do believe that's the number, by the way. I know later on we see the number 20. If you add them up, you get 22,300. And there's an issue there, but we won't try and cover that today because that would take some time. But right now, 22,000 does appear to be the correct number because now you'll see the redemption of the firstborn starting in verse 40 of chapter 3. And what happens, we find out there are 273 more firstborn than there are Levites. Right, that are of the right age, and so they have to redeem those. Right, they have to give a little 5 shekels of silver for 273 over 22,000. Right, and so that comes out, and that's all brought out in the end of the chapter here, and you see verse 46. And for those that are to be redeemed, the 273 or 313 of the firstborn of children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, right? They're going to be redeemed. There's the 5 shekels of silver in verse 47. And the money goes into the tabernacle of the Lord, into the treasury. Verse 49, that says that. And then, of course, it's put in the treasury there in verse 50. 1,305 shekels of silver, right? So 273 times 5 hopefully comes out that amount. You can do a calculation, you young people that are here. You can do that. And so they give this to Moses and Aaron, and it goes in the house of the Lord. And did everything, of course, according to how the Lord commanded Moses. Finally, let's read a little something from chapter 4 and see what it says there. Verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years on old up to 50, right? So this is going to be those who actually can serve and have charge in the tabernacle, right? There will be others, of course, who can help, right? Others that can apprentice or help that are younger than that. But to be officially recognized and in charge, you had to be between 30 and 50. And before or after those ages, you certainly could still help. And there are examples of that in the scripture as well. And so what we're going to have here is each of these tribes are going to be numbered again, right, from 30 to 50, right, the ones who can be in charge and sort of schedule everything and whatever in the tabernacle. And now they'll all be numbered, right? Before it was dealt with the firstborn or the month old and upward, now it's 30 to 50. And so it'll number each of the three key families again, Kohath and Gershon and Merari, right, those are the three. We'll get the numbers for those, and again, it'll mention what they're responsible for in chapter 4. And so we won't read all that, but it will say that. And so, verse 17, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohites from among the Levites, but this do unto them, that they may live and not die. When they approach unto the most holy things, Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint them every one his service and to his burden. That is, Aaron and the high priest Aaron and his sons would be responsible for making sure everything was done properly, right? And then there'd be others like the 30 to 50 year olds who would be responsible to make sure things happen right. But they would be in charge of the whole thing. And they would make sure that the things before the tabernacle moved, it would be covered properly so no one could look upon it, right? Because if you look upon the Lord's things, you would die, right? Good thing we don't have that today. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Praise God, we can look upon the Lord's things. Keep that in mind. And so he numbers them all, of course, and he talks about what their service will be all through chapter 4. And again, we've already mentioned what that is for those three families. And we get to the verse 48. Even those that were numbered to them were 8,504, 580. According, now this is the 30 to 50 year olds, right? So it's different than 22,000, right? This is from 30 to 50 now, so it's a smaller amount. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service. That's very important. And according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses. Any questions? No questions. Oh, we're about done already. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now we've read four chapters. You might say, what in the world can we learn from all that? Say, had I read that, it would have been another 15 minutes, right? I would have had to read through it all, right? And it would have been another 15 minutes. And then we'd have to stay another hour after that for the message, wouldn't we? Now, I know you wouldn't mind, but, you know, I do have concern for you, say. And so I didn't do that. I didn't read the whole thing, but certainly you look at it, and how many of us, if we're honest, will say, you know what, I read that, but I just read right past it. Right? You read about the names, the numberings, and where they're, you know, where they're putting around the tabernacle and so on. And you say, oh, very nice, Lord, thank you very much. And I got my reading in for the year. And how many of us read that more than one? And if you go through the Bible in a year, you probably read it, right? Some of you go through the Bible in a year, you read the book of Numbers, but how many of us actually study it any more than that? And probably not very often, do we? Because it's a tough book, isn't it? It's a tough read, you know, they're reading all those names and numbers and over again the same thing. Wait until you get to the next couple of chapters, 5 through 9, right? And they start dedicating the altar, and they get like 80 verses of dedicating the altar, right? Over and over again, the same stuff over and over again. It seems monotonous, you might say. But it's the Word of God, isn't it? And so if it's the Word of God, it must say something to us, shouldn't it? And so I've given you a chart, and we'll go into it, and I'll have it up on the screen here in a moment. But I've given you a chart to show you a layout, and I will, you know, in fact, what I'll do is I'll bring my slides up here so I can make sure they're matching what you have up there. I'm not going to go back and forth between what we've read and this. I'm going to sort of focus down on the slides. I want to make sure we look at the Word of God first, right? But that is the key. And now, what is it really saying to us? And we could observe some things there, and I want to make sure that you get to see what we're observing. And so, with this in mind, we'll go ahead and go to the next slide. And let me try this. Maybe that's why it didn't work. I was going like this. We already mentioned, now these first few slides we covered last time, right? So if you've been here, this is for those who are perhaps with us on Zoom, or perhaps are here and weren't here our first time. This is sometime last year we did this. And the title of the book is Bamidbar, right, in the Hebrew, which means in the desert. That has something to tell us, of course, as we shall see. Written by Moses about 1400 or so B.C. And of course, we know they're at Sinai, right? This is the point where they're at. And so I'm going to quickly go through these first few slides because we've already done it before. But stop me if I go too fast. Okay. Surrounding the books, the context of it all, very important to see the context of what we're talking about. The book of Numbers falls, of course, as the fourth book of the Pentateuch. And so we have Genesis, of course, which is the creation and fall, right? God and the individual dealing with Adam, for instance. And then we have the Exodus, of course, redemption, and the fact that he's going to redeem his son, right? Exodus chapter 4, because he is God's son, right? Israel is, right? As a nation. And so we have a people now in relation to God, don't we? And then the third one is Leviticus, of course. You no doubt study that one all the time, I'm sure. And that one's, of course, access, right? How are we going to approach God, right? And so we have access to a holy God in Leviticus, don't we? Now this is where we are, the book of Numbers, and that wilderness experience. And the whole issue there is, of course, now we're on an earthly journey. What do we do while God is with us, right? God is journeying with us. How does this happen? What goes on, right? That's number four. And then we have Deuteronomy, of course, which we won't get to in the near future. But now it's a review, right? We return to the beginning and basically review and give responsibility for getting it right, right? And so that's what we have. Those five books come together really help us to get a sense to where we're at. Now, you might say, why didn't I start with Genesis? Well, you see, I just don't have enough time. And so you'll forgive me if I didn't start there. But we're looking at the book of Numbers, which I think you'll find very helpful. Then we narrow in some more, right? So we did the larger context. Now we're narrowing in, right? Here's where we are. Exodus 1 through 11, we have Israel coming out of bondage, right? And then we have, very good, he's following me along very well. Redeemed, Exodus 12 and 13, right? Redeemed by the blood, right? Under the blood and so on. And we're set free by the blood, right? That's 12 and 13 in Exodus. 14 and 15, saved by the power, right? Saved, you know, the enemy's gone, right? And so we're saved from the power of the enemy, right? The Egyptians are dead in the seashore. Chapters 14 and 15. But now the book of Numbers is right in this fourth piece, right? Exodus 16 through Deuteronomy 34 is the, we might say, the wilderness journey, right? But we're dealing with the book of Numbers by itself. We're not dealing with Deuteronomy yet. But we see in Exodus 16, they begin their journey, we might say, and they get to Sinai, right? Which we'll see on our next slide, right? But that's where we are. And then, of course, Joshua, right? The book of Joshua is they get in their inheritance, right? That's chapters 1 through 24 of Joshua. And if you had been with us, perhaps down at the camp, I think we were doing some studies a while back. I think we did the whole thing. We did an overview of the book of Joshua with the folks that came down there to camp a few years ago. All right. Yeah, maybe it does work. Look at that. Okay, maybe it does. All right. We're going to, now we have it narrowed again, right? We're going to go even closer, narrow it even further. And here we are, Exodus 16 through 18 is the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, right? That's their traveling to Mount Sinai. Then we have Exodus 19 to Numbers 9. That's where we are, right? So Exodus 19 to Numbers 9 is exactly where we're starting, right? Numbers 1, right? This is where we are. So this is where we are in the whole process of their journey, is the long stay at Mount Sinai, almost a year at Mount Sinai, right? You don't even realize that, do you? Not quite a year, but you see a lot going on, right? The tabernacle's being built, the law's given, right? Sprinkle the blood and, you know, all the things going on. Lots of going on there in Sinai before they begin traveling again to their inheritance. Then we have Mount Sinai to Kadesh, of course, in Numbers 10 and through 12, which we'll get to. Then we have Kadesh, back to Kadesh, right? Like they were going around in a circle. That's Numbers 13 through 20. We'll get to that as well. And then Kadesh to Jordan, chapters 21 through 36. So there we are, right? So you see, again, I hope it helps you. It helps me to get a sense, right? Looking at the context. Where am I speaking about? Where is this thing happening? When and where, right? So these are things we touched on last time. But this was all a model for our thinking. So briefly, we covered it last time, a model for this particular thing, this wilderness experience, the taking out of bondage in Egypt and then brought into the inheritance, is over and over in the scripture used as a model. All through the, right, not just the Old Testament, the New Testament, right? And I'll show you verses, we won't go into them, but Corinthians and Hebrews, right? Over and over again, we have used this particular event, we might say, or series of events in the wilderness. Very important for us to learn that, because that means it has something for us. And so you see, it's a model not only for our journey, but a model, of course, of how he saved us, didn't he? We were in bondage, he redeemed us, he delivered us from the power of the enemy, and now we are in the wilderness, aren't we? Isn't that exciting? That we're in the wilderness experience together, which we've talked about before. And we have, in a small way, been brought to the inheritance, but we see we haven't got the full inheritance yet, have we? Because we're still fighting warfare, aren't we? Doesn't Paul talk about that, right? We're principalities and powers, right, that we're warring against and so on, right? And so we recognize we're not there yet. We're connected with it. We know we have the inheritance as believers in Christ, but we see we don't have the full realm of the inheritance yet, do we? We will be running here someday, as we see in the book of Joshua and beyond. Now, again, we see the nature of the inheritance. There's quite often a double picture in the scriptures of things. I'd say we see both a present and a future aspect. The present aspect being we are seated with Christ, and yet we're in warfare, aren't we? Seated with Christ, Ephesians tells us, but yet we have this warfare going on, as Ephesians 6 tells us. In the future, of course, we're just pilgrims, aren't we? Right now, we're just pilgrims, and really, we're just on our way, and you know what? We know where we're going. We're going to get there someday. It's a marvelous thing. And so there's this picture as well, a double aspect to these things sometimes. And of course, you get that aspect, for instance, in John and Colossians as well. We're delivered from this world, yet we're still in it, aren't we? In the world, but not of the world. We often hear about things like this. And of course, Hebrews tells us, right, that we basically have this wilderness experience. We're still in a race, it seems, right? And there's all these other people who've gone before us, haven't they? Right? And, chapters like 11 through 13 there, where it talks about faith and all these who have gone before and all that. And he says, what a great cloud of witnesses, right? He talks about who've run the race already, right? There's our model, right? And so I think there's a connection back here, isn't there? Running the race is one aspect, but you see, yet we're already at rest, aren't we? It's a little strange, isn't it? We're seated with Christ, and yet here we are running a race. It doesn't seem, how can that be? Well, you see, it's a double model, a double picture, you might say. And so we want to say the journey itself is very real to the Israelites. We touched on it. It's very real. It's physical. They really literally were there. It was geographical. They actually went from place to place. And he's following on very well with me. Good. I'm not following with myself. He did it. He's helped me out. And so, chronological, I can just leave it there, I think. Chronological, the time element is very important as well. It's progressive. It does matter, doesn't it? Where they've been does matter, doesn't it? Our experience does matter. It helps us, doesn't it, along the way. And of course, they're learning the spiritual things as well, their relation to God and whether they really understand who he is. And then there are moral things, aren't there? The ability to make choices, learning about making choices and making good choices or faulty choices, as we learn they do as well. And so what do we learn generally from that first overview we looked at? We generally learn from this whole piece that Israel discovered something about themselves, didn't they? Remember, like Peter, you started with the issue of Peter. It was Brother Stephen brought up Peter. And then that got me thinking, you know, about Peter, right? The issue of, he knew he's going to die and so on. But, you know, when Peter denied the Lord, didn't he learn something about himself? I think he did, didn't he? And we struggle in the world too, don't we? And we learn something about ourselves, don't we? And what do they mean? You know, what was their view of the journey? What did they think of the journey? And what do you think of your journey? That is, what are your thoughts about it? And what is your purpose in being on the journey? Are you like children, perhaps? Have you ever had your children in the car? I know you have a few children. You know, some of you have had children. And you go on a trip, right? An hour into this 30-hour trip, right? Are we there yet? Right? Have you ever had that? And you see, their view of the trip was different, wasn't it? Their view of the trip is, we should already be there, right? I want the end point, right? I don't want all that stuff in between, say. Have we ever been like that? Yeah, I want the end point, but don't give me all this stuff in between, Lord. Just put me right there at the end, right? Well, that's something we have to learn about, right? And they discovered much about God and who he is, right? Peter did as well, didn't he? How God is holy, and he expects us our devotion, right? But it can't be devotion in the flesh, can it? It has to be by the power of the Spirit that we devote ourselves to him, as we noted this morning. And they learned much about the inheritance, and of course they learned much about how do we get everybody through that whole journey, right? And I know I've mentioned this before, how important as believers together, working together to get everyone through, right? And we all got to get to the end, right? And it's a very important lesson for us. That, see, as we struggle, and some of our brethren will, right? We'll all have struggles along the journey. Are we willing to let someone come alongside and help us along? Someone who might be able to say, you know what, brother, that's not quite what you're doing. What you're doing is not really quite right. Without being offended. It's not easy to do, is it? But it's important to allow, isn't it? To be able to go to one another and help one another along the journey and not be offended, right? And even if the person's wrong, right? They could be wrong, right? But that's okay. You take it, right? And say, okay, brother, I'll take a look at what you're saying. I've had brethren come up to me after speaking somewhere and you're absolutely wrong, brother, right? And I've had it happen a few times, but I thought I was just way off base and just let me have it, right? Well, I said, well, brother, what verses? Let's go look at the, and of course, what I want to do then is go right to the scriptures. I said, well, what does the scripture say? Well, I do. No, this is, well, no, that's, you learned that from wherever you learned it. Yeah, but what does the scripture say? And we'll talk about it. And hey, if I've made an error, I'm up to the dealing with it, right? Because we do all make errors, don't we? We all have struggles. And so we're warriors, workers, worshipers, and witnesses in this world. Israel would learn about that. So this would be our example. I won't go into these verses, but we touched on it last time. So these are the examples that we would be from the New Testament as well, from Corinthians and John and Peter and Hebrews and Thessalonians, all the practical examples, how this is used as an example for us. But we'll touch on more of it as we go along. And then, of course, the inheritance, the issue, it's not just getting the inheritance, which is true, like in the book of Hebrews, quite a bit, but also the issue of, well, there's other things related to the inheritance, right? You know, reward and the things we receive in the inheritance and ruling in the inheritance and all that kind of stuff is also important as well. The nations have an inheritance, right? Aren't we glad about that? Because we're part of the nations usually, right? Most of us are not Jewish. We have that. And so these are some of the key lessons: man's failure, God's provision, God's promise. We touched on it already last time. And we see that God really used the seed of Abraham, right? And there was as small as 75 in Egypt, right? And they became 600,000 plus women and children, right, when they came out. Is God able to work? I think he is. But now that 600,000 comes out, we know we saw the numbering, right? 603,000, whatever it was, right? 550, I think it was. We have that many there. I wonder how many are left at the end. That we'll have to get to. great lesson there. And then here's all the allusions to the book of Numbers. I go one more slide, and there's all the allusions to it, right? All the allusions to the New Testament in various ways, the book of Numbers, New Testament alluding to the book of Numbers. All right, well, that being said, let's go look at a few charts. Now, here's the chart. We're going to go to the next slide. There you are. There's a chart. It's two pages, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I have 15 minutes now to complete, right? I'm on schedule so far. When I started going through this, I'm saying to myself, oh, dear, I'm going to be 5 minutes over, but I better keep going here. Chapters 1 through 4 is where we are, right? We're going to cover chapters 1 through 4 in the last 15 minutes. There we are. You ready? That's what we want to look at. But here I've got five sections in the first half of the book of Numbers and five sections in the second half of the book of Numbers, and they're parallels, all right? So you'll see that they're color-coded. So if you turn the page over that you have, you'll see that's color-coded, and I try to make it so it's very easy for you to see what I'm talking about in relation to each of the sections. But right now, today, we're going to look at sections, chapters 1 through 4, that first yellow section on the top of your sheet. And we'll notice, of course, that I have on the left-hand side there counting for the war and loyalty to the whole being key, right? That is counting how many there are and then loyalty to the whole nation, right? The idea that we're all connected. We're all got families. We all have these pedigrees, right? We read about and so on. We know who our father is, right? All these things. Now, Peter connects with this as well, right? Peter talks about some of these things too. And of course, there are lessons for us. And we'll talk more about those. So we have this particular part one, and then part two is on the back, which I won't cover today. Okay, so you want to stick that in your Bible, right? So next time I'm here, you'll have that chart, right? All right, very good. And so here we are, preparation for the journey. Let's see, there it is, preparation for the journey. And this is what we're going to look at. And these are the key things. Four chapters, and we've already read the portion we want to read because that's key. But now, do we learn from it all? What is this telling us? All right, well, let's look at some things we read. First of all, go up to the next slide, brother, and we have here the heads of the father's houses. Now, I won't go into a lot of detail on the chart, but obviously, it was important to know who you were connected to. Over and over again, you see it? We have it in Numbers chapter 1, Numbers chapter 2, Numbers chapter 7, Numbers chapter 10. All this in preparation, right? The idea of who your father was, right? Who do you belong to, right? That's an important lesson, I think. Now, we may read through that and just miss that. But think about that. They had to know who they were connected to, where their place was, and when one moved, they moved, right? And what the banner was they were under and all that kind of thing. Very important lesson. So I just bring this out just for my own. I like visualizations because that helps me to see the whole thing. And so I get to see these names, the order of the names, and the fact that they got rearranged a little bit here and there, but I won't go into too much detail right now. Heads of the father's house, there are heads, and those people had to know where they belonged. Number two, we had a list of tribes. And you see the birth order I give here as well on this chart. You see that in the first list in Genesis. But then you see in Numbers chapter 1, right toward the middle there, we have the list given here. Levi is, of course, moved, right? Because Levi is no longer one of the tribes, right? It's God's, right? In that sense, right? Still a tribe, but it belongs to God. And so now we have the two tribes of Joseph, right? Because he's got the double portion from the book of Genesis, as you know, right? Because remember, Jacob blessed him, right? Manasseh and Ephraim. And so we have that. The list of tribes, though, very interesting to sort of look at the names and how they're different orders in different places, and there are their purposes in that, perhaps. I don't always know why, but they are different orders sometimes. And so I mentioned that, and there's actually another order in Revelation as well, which I don't include there. All right, the numbers, we read all about the numbers. You see here, we have 603,550. Okay, there we are. So we said about 600,000 came out. Now, there are, of course, women and children as well, right? These are men 20 years of age and older, right? So there's many, many more, of course. Probably some suggest up to 2 million came out, right? It's possible. When we come down to the end, we'll come back to this chart then when we get to chapter 26 of Numbers and take a look at the renumbering, right? There's a renumbering in Numbers 26. That's the we'll see there's a relation, there's a little bit of a parallel there in some ways. But we won't get to it today, but just that we know the number, right? 603,000, and we see how many are in each tribe. It's very helpful to have, and we'll see what that does over our journey. Then we talked about Levi and Aaron and Ithamar and Eleazar, and then their various children who deal with the tabernacle. So as I looked at all those names, I said, let me get a visualization of this. What am I dealing with here? And so you see here we have Levi, and we have Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, right? The three sons, Jochebed, a daughter, right? Jochebed marries into the same family, right? Marries a grandson or whatever it is of Levi. And that's, of course, she becomes now the mother of, well, Aaron and the rest, right? Which is sort of interesting. Aaron, Miriam, and Moses are here. And then Aaron, of course, we have Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. We know that Nadab and Abihu had no children, right? Told us, right? We read it. So this gives you a picture of where we're at, right? Just to give you a sense of the Levites and how the families are set up. And so you see that Aaron and his gang were under the Kohaths, right? They're Kohathites, which not all people realize, but that's important to understand. Okay, so there's a little chart about Levi. We have the numbering of the Levites as well, and so there's your numbers, 22,300, and then 8,580 for the 30 to 50, right? Those are the two numbers we looked at so far. So isn't it nice to have charts? You know, just sort of just put it all together, and you say, oh, I just look at those, and I get all the, I know what the four chapters are about. It can be helpful. The camp layout, well, we're told all about the camp layout, and so I do a layout, right? Here's a tabernacle, we have the Kohathites here, Judah and the folks on the east we read about, right? And we talked about the south, and we talked about the west, we talked about the north. I didn't read the whole thing, but I mentioned it, right? So here we are. I made a picture, how many people are in each tribe at the numbering, and how many are in the numbering the second time, right? In parentheses. So now I've sort of condensed all that stuff, right? Almost in one chart. Four chapters, right? And so now we can look at one chart and say, okay, but why all that stuff? Why is that all there, right? And why would I go through all that work? Well, because it helps. It gives me a sense to what's happening. And so we have this. Now, and so why all this work then? What, you know, okay, that's very nice, Brother Ed. Hey, I like the church, Brother Ed. Give me a copy of those. Yes, very good. What does that all mean? How does it help me? And I want to suggest in our last 10 minutes then some things. That we have preparation in chapters 1 through 9 of Numbers. That they are going to be now, they're no longer ignorant of God, are they? Remember, they get the tabernacle now, don't they? And they get the law, right? And the blood's been sprinkled on them and so on. That's all happened at Sinai. Before that, they murmured, right? And they could murmur, and God was, of course, merciful, wasn't he? And gave them the water, gave them the bread, whatever. They could murmur before Sinai, and God would, because of their ignorance, help them. But after Sinai, they're no longer ignorant. And once they start murmuring, remember the first time they come out of Egypt, right? They go 3 days' journey and they murmur, don't they? And God's merciful. Do you think history ever repeats itself? Well, see it when we get to chapter 10, right? They go 3 days' journey after leaving Sinai. They go 3 days' journey, and what do they do? Murmur. You think they ought to learn their lesson. But now there's a problem, right? Because now they're no longer ignorant of God's ways. And now he judges, doesn't he? You see. And brethren, we're not ignorant of God's ways, are we? We've learned about them and his word. And so we have to be ready, don't we, for the journey. It's a dangerous place out there. It's difficult. And it'll be a lot to attack us. And the enemy's there in many ways. Maybe it's the Amalekites, whoever it might be, that they see along the journey. And so it's a dangerous place. We need to be ready. We need to prepare. That's what the first 9 chapters of Numbers will show us. Preparation ahead of time to go out in that world that we're in. And we need to watch carefully. Now, we won't go too much here, but the rest of the section through chapter 9, especially chapters 5 and 6, they talk about cleanliness, right? Keep making sure that camp is clean. We see it a little bit here in the 4 chapters because he says anybody who comes close shall die, right? And making sure that the, as we saw in the chart there, that the Levites were immediately around the temple, right? The tabernacle, excuse me, to protect it, right? Preserve it from defilement. So, you know, we have to be careful, don't we, about defilement in our world. And then recognize it's a long journey, isn't it? It's not just a short thing. We want it to be short, of course, right? Remember the short way? God wouldn't let them go the short way, would he? Because he realized the challenges of the experience, right? And if he hit those challenges right away, they wouldn't make it, would they? But by learning in the wilderness experience, taking a while, and, well, there was progress made, wasn't there? And some made it through, some didn't, did they? And so we have that. Then the order of the camp, we said, is very important, right? You notice, by the way, I mentioned the order, or all this preparation, all this order did not start at Exodus. Isn't that interesting? Just an observation, right? How the camp was going to be ordered in the tabernacle, but none of that was done. When it came out of Egypt, what was it? Get out, right? They just rushed out of Egypt, didn't they? There's no order per se. I mean, obviously, the God told them to leave. He was with them. But you see, once you have the Lord, there's an order to your life, isn't there? There's an order to things. You do things in a certain order. And you do it God's way, don't you? Well, you try anyway. God's way. And so the tabernacle is now present. They didn't have this at Exodus, but boy, now when they leave Sinai, it's all in order. Keep the camp clean. Make sure that no one defiles the tabernacle. You make sure it's all done right. And so the order of the camp, and then, of course, later on, how they march, we'll get into that in more detail. They mention it briefly in little spots in these first 4 chapters, but not a lot. Later on, we'll see it in other chapters. The numbering of the Levites and their charge, because now you have God's place, right? There's a big difference, though, of course. You know, there's a parallel here, obviously, with us, isn't there? Because we're people of God, aren't we? In the wilderness experience right now, aren't we? And yet there's a difference because, see, they had a separate group called the priests, but we are we're the priests as well, aren't we? We're both. We don't have 2 separate groups. There they had 2 groups, but we're both. And so we are on this long wilderness journey. We're the people on the journey, people of God, in relation to him, in relation to his son. And yet we're priests, aren't we? We're careful about his place, aren't we? And about how we gather and all those kind of things that the elders have a great deal of responsibility, don't they? And they do a good work, don't they? And we pray for them, don't we? Because we know it's a challenge in today's day and age. Order of the camp, number of Levites, substitute for the firstborn and the ransom. We read about, of course, the importance of being redeemed and the order for carrying the tabernacle. You know, the Levites had to carry certain things a certain way, and we touched on that briefly. You go back now to, just to remember, I said Deuteronomy is a review, right? And you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and isn't it interesting that Moses goes back and says, remember how the Lord led thee. I love that thought, right? Remember, right? Remember we talked about remembering today, right? Several people mentioned the word remember in different hymns, whatever, and the importance that we remember our Lord, don't we? That's important, isn't it? Because, see, we would often forget, wouldn't we, after a while? And so the importance of remembering how the Lord had led them, the journey, right? What they went through, what place they went, and the issues they ran into, and all those experiences would help them to progress on the journey, wouldn't they? If they took them to heart. And we have the same thing going on our journey, don't we? If we take these things to heart that we're learning. And of course, you see, it had to be according to the Father's house, or the orders according to the Father's house. They had to make sure, right? They had their pedigree in order, right? We have a pedigree, don't we? Are we not connected to Christ? Aren't you not born again? And so you would need to be able to show that you're born again, don't you? If you're going to be in the inheritance. and there's great lessons for us. And so that whole name, you know, the importance of your name, right? You know how it goes, right? And we can mention certain names and something comes to mind, doesn't it? You know, as far as whether it's the name of a car and some, you know, whatever it might be, right? Name of a bank or some famous person. Right away, something comes to mind about something in society, right? Because names are important. And of course, some names are very famous. But names do encapsulate the experience, don't they? And we definitely see that in Genesis and some of the other places in the Old Testament. And so the name of Jesus, right? Christian, we're called, aren't we? And doesn't that name encapsulate an awful lot and what that means to us? And of course, the family affair, we all have to, you know, get through this together, don't we? We're a family. We're sons of God, aren't we? The family of God. We are the building, aren't we? And so everything in relation to God's house, his building, right, his people is the key. And how important it is on our journey that we might seek and be devoted to him and his house. Very, very important to see. And so I want to mention that to you. There's much we can say there, but the importance of being devoted to his house is good. Then we see a little bit about the Levites. I won't read a lot of details here. You can read it on your own at some point. If, again, you can ask for the slides if you like. Feel free. But you see the tabernacle is central, and God's house is central, isn't it? His meeting place is central. And if we move somewhere else, don't we seek out there's a place for the people of God to meet first, don't we? Rather than going to some place, which we've seen some people do, right? Go off somewhere, and they have no interest in starting an assembly or a meeting or whatever, but they're worried about doing such and such. But how great to hear young men who want to go out and find a place to work where there's some people meeting together in the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord. Marvelous things. And so we have the order of the camp once again. So here's our lessons as we close, that we have to prepare for the wilderness journey. As we read these four chapters, I've summarized them all with the charts, but prepare for the wilderness journey. Identify with your Father's house, with the Lord himself. Do you identify with him today? If you don't identify with him today, well, here's your opportunity, isn't it? You may identify with him today. Conducting ourselves in relation to God's house, recognizing his word and his house are the important thing, because we are his house, aren't we? As it says in Scripture. And we need to protect it and make it central, right? His word and his house. And then, of course, focus on getting to the inheritance, right? It's a long journey, but keep our eyes on him and on the inheritance. And carry the things of God with you, right? We talked about all, you know, carrying all. Well, you do carry God's word with you, don't you? You do carry, you're the house, aren't you? And if you're a believer today, then you carry the things of God with you, don't you? And so, very important lesson for us. And finally, remember that the Lord leads in the wilderness, doesn't he? He'll help us along. And so all this preparation work would get them, and they would learn a lot from that. They would struggle. We'll see some of the struggles come out. We have four or five more chapters to talk about preparation. But you see, a third of the book is devoted to preparation, getting us ready so we might do well in the experience of the wilderness. I hope these are a help to you, as they've been a help to me. And we'll stop there, for our time is up. And we'll ask God to help us to put these to heart. You know, take them into our heart and think about them, take them in our mind, our heart, and perhaps we need to change something in our lives. Will help us to be more closely walking with him. Well, let's pray together and ask God's help. Father, we thank you for the time we've had to be together. We appreciate thy love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this great book, the book of Numbers, that says so much to us. And Lord, we read it initially, and your word is beautiful, marvelous how it's put together. And we see how you have kept it there, that we might learn from it. And yet, Lord, it would seem so tough to read those four chapters in consecutive order. It seems a lot of details that may not even apply to us. But as we put it together, as we chart it, and as we think through it, we see the great lessons about preparing ourselves for a difficult journey in this world. Lord, help us. May we be those who can, with no problem at all, say we are connected to Christ. If anyone here that knows not Christ, that individual today might put his or her trust in the Lord Jesus and say that I have been born again, connected now with the family of God. And may we be those who look out for the inheritance, but also are careful about thy word and thy house and all that pertains to thee. May we be devoted, and especially devoted to thy Son. Help us, Lord. It's easier to say these things than to accomplish them. But by thy Spirit and by thy power, we can do it. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.